This is the TJ Trout Show.
Maybe I'm missing something here.
His ideas make sense to me.
On 96.3 News Radio, KKOB.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Glad you're with us. TJ Trout here along with BB at the controls. We got Gabe in the newsroom, Michael Carlisle in the traffic bunker, Trujillo walking around doing stuff. Weather sure has turned around.
Oh, yeah.
To mid-70s by the weekend, man.
Yep, that's what they're saying.
Very excited about that. Very excited, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Do a little fishing.
All right. Yeah. It's that time of the year.
Do a little time off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can't wait.
You got your fishing license? Yep.
You don't need a new fishing license in
April 1st.
Yeah. So yeah. I got a week.
Yeah.
Okay. So no, I still got my old one.
All righty.
Yeah. So I don't want to be pulled now. See, now I'll probably be pulled over and strip searched. You know. But it's gonna be good to have a day off, man. Hey, by the way, we're gonna have Father Chris Zuger back on the air with us tomorrow. I want an update from him as to how much money he has raised to help the Ukrainian refugees through Our Lady of Perpetual Help Church, Kabizny Catholic Church here in town, and they got that network going out over into Ukraine and Slovakia and Hungary, and that's where their money is going in that region. And if you still want to donate, you can go to the church's website, which is olphnm.org. That stands for Our Lady of Perpetual Help, olphnm.org. You can Google that as well, or call the church for more information as well, 505-256-1539. You get to the website. It's all there on the page of their website. Just boom, there it is. So you know exactly what to do. They take plastic. Do not drop off any supplies because, there's a war over there. Do you notice?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to get stuff over to them.
Correct.
So, so credit card's fine. You can drop off cash or checks at the church if you want. But, that's the way that works. We'll talk to Father Zuger tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour. So, all right. Right now, however, from Soterra Advisor Networks, Pavlos Panagopoulos. It's been a while, man.
It's been a while, about a month or two.
Where have you – didn't you, like, leave the country?
We were just taking down a Christmas tree. You remember that?
Well, I saw the pictures. You were in Miami.
Yes. Okay. I was working hard in Miami. I was meeting with my gold people. They were telling me, don't sell my gold. Don't listen to TJ. Keep your gold.
that's what I'm doing. I'm telling people, now, whatever you do, get rid of your gold. Get rid of it now. I don't know anything about gold. And although it's
kind of like a lie detector, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you hear the politicians talking on TV. TJ and I just watch it ticking up. I see the price of oil today going up.
Yeah.
The politicians are working really hard. They're going to Europe, and they're going to fix all this, chaos that we have in our economy, but, they're just going to show up and fix it. So.
Well, they better show up and do something over there. Hopefully they can get something worked out anyway.
Right. But maybe we can blame Putin for everything that's happened in this country, right? We just blame Putin.
Well, we can sure as hell blame Putin for what's going on in Eastern Europe right now, that's for sure. Absolutely. Let's look, though, Pavlos, at interest rates. And the Fed's just raised the 0.25%. Which does not seem like a whole lot, but they say they're promising more interest rate increases down the road. So explain to everybody how raising interest rates brings down inflation.
Well, you just figure they raise it 0.25%, so, you can take your $100,000 CD and maybe you'll get $25 on it.
Yeah,
right?
Yippee. I'm very excited about that. I know.
Really excited about that.
Yeah, none of the retirees out there, they're not going to get rich or more comfortable over this 0.25% increase.
Right, and really, just the Federal Reserve was making interest rates zero for like the last decade has really been a war on seniors. I mean, you think about the seniors really relied on that income for their livelihood, and so now they're not getting any income on that, CD rates, and so it's a 0.25%, and they're talking about raising interest rates. Merrill Lynch said they'd raise it 6 times this year, but this war in Ukraine is dragging out, and a lot of uncertainty. What's happening? They're even talking about the economy going into recession, and you and I know that the Fed caused 9 out of the last 10 recessions since World War II. So.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Like 10
I don't,
out of 11, right?
I don't know that. You told me that.
I told you that before.
I don't know. How did the Feds cause How do the Federal Reserve cause recessions? What do they do to make a recession?
They jack up interest rates. You and I remember when interest rates, you know, were, you know, even on like mortgages, you know, they were up 15-16%.
Yeah.
When you make the cost of money go up so high, then that basically kills the real estate market.
Yeah, but and you don't. You don't see that happening now, though.
No, you know why? Because politicians in Washington are really, really worried about unemployment. You know whose unemployment they're worried about, TJ?
Their own.
Not yours, exactly. Guess what? We got an election coming up.
That's right there, buddy boy. That's it. All right, so anyway, all right, but explain this to me, how this works, though, with interest rates and inflation, because that is the going theory, right? That if it'll curb the inflation.
Right. So you're making your money more valuable. So we have nothing that backs up our money. There's no country in the world that their currency is backed up by gold or anything that's real. So basically, it's a promise. But if they promise that they're going to pay you interest on your cash, then you feel like it's more valuable.
Right.
So people start pouring money into the bank, and they don't borrow money because it's too expensive to borrow money to build houses or borrow money to refinance or borrow money to build a factory, and so it constricts the economy. Now, the guy who did basically fix the economy back in the 70s, Paul Volcker, jacked up interest rates almost to 20%. I don't know if you remember that. And remember, at that time, inflation was, you know, 40 years ago, was at 7%. So he had to jack interest rates up to 20%, and inflation was at the same rate as what's now. Do you think the people at the Federal Reserve today, Jay Powell, have the guts to jack up interest rates that much?
Well, it'd be suicide, right? Wouldn't it be suicide?
Pretty much. I mean, that is right. But you got to understand, the only way to quell inflation is basically they let the genie out of the box. You know, or Pandora's box. There's a genie out of the whatever.
But isn't it true, though, that really interest rates never really should have been around zero anyway? Isn't that like when a national catastrophe happens?
Right. And basically, they had no dry powder. So raising the rate, you know, 6 months ago, they should have raised the rate. Again, it's political, right? There was an election or whatever, and they're worried about, you know, what's happening to the economy. And instead of doing what they needed to do, they basically painted themselves in a corner. And now we've got this Ukraine thing on the horizon, and they got no dry powder.
Yeah.
You know, to excuse the pun there, but, you know.
No, so
basically, Putin knew exactly where we were at. I mean, you know, these guys in Washington, very predictable. Putin played us like a drum. I mean, he saw, you know, hey, if I basically cause this problem with oil, you know, the United States is cutting back their oil production, and, you know, of course we have our demand for oil continues to rise, and basically they have us over a proverbial barrel of oil.
It's not good what's going on with oil right now. However, I think Putin also, if we're talking politics here, Putin had no idea that NATO would reunite and get together they've done that.
Right. And I think that's very positive, and I think that even Biden's restraint with what he's done has been good. But again, our hearts go out to the people there in Ukraine. I know you talked about donations. Our group, HEPA, a group that I belong to, the Greek American Hellenic Education Progressive Association Party, you know, we're basically a group that gives to charity, and we're providing cash monies to Ukrainian refugees. And so our Orthodox brethren.
Oh, sure, absolutely. You know, talking to Pavlos Panagopoulos here from Cetera Advisor Networks, I'm going to talk a little bit about gas and oil and politics in the markets as well, too, because we've got an election year coming up. This is an election year, at least midterm. All right, traffic coming up in 10 seconds. Hold on. And we got Pavlos Panagopoulos on with us from Cetera Advisor Networks. Yeah, I was musing about this off the air, Pavlos, thinking of the days when my checking account over at the bank, you know, just my interest checking account, I was getting 5% on that.
I remember that. I remember opening a savings account in Carlsbad at the Northgate Bank, and, you know, I remember getting a little interest every month.
Yeah, but 5%, and that was, you know, we would like dance in the streets if we were getting 5% interest on our checking accounts.
Right. Well, there's a book that you might want to read. It's called The Creature from Jekyll Island, and it talks about the Federal Reserve and how it was created back in the turn of the century, back in the early 1900s.
Sounds like you're not a big fan of the Federal Reserve.
Or are you? First of all, they're not elected officials. They're appointed.
Right.
And actually, Trump appointed a lady named, of course, when he appointed Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, that got passed by you know, both the Democrats and the Republicans, and, you know, not totally, but anyways, they got through the Congress and got through the Senate, but he also appointed a lady named Judy Shelton to the Federal Reserve. She was the only one that believed in going back to a gold standard. Now, we may not have believed in going back to a gold standard, but she had a difference of opinion. All those people in the Fed, TJ, have group think. They're all modern monetary theorists. They believe in printing money and that we can, you know, print our way to prosperity. And again, I don't blame the Democrats and I don't blame the Republicans. We're in this place we are today. Not, I mean, Putin has, you know, some minor thing, but this has been decades in the making. This deficit that we've been doing and printing money,
but,
you know, that's been a real problem.
Okay. All right. Isn't it true, though, the last quarter we actually had a surplus?
Maybe. I mean, we got $30 trillion we owe.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, you know, like, you
no
know,
matter if we have a surplus, I mean, yeah, we have a long way to go. And here's something else. The Federal Reserve said, Jay Powell, that we're going to start tightening things. So they basically raised interest rate by 0.25%. But now we're over $9 trillion of money printing. They printed another $240 billion last month.
Right. I think you're glossing over the fact that we haven't had a surplus for a long freaking time.
I think this needs to be
celebrated that it actually happened, and hopefully we can continue with that.
Right, but you're assuming that you and I are the constituents. We're not. You and I paid about $4.6 trillion in taxes, and our government in Washington spent $7
trillion. Yeah, now I get
it. So who's the constituent? The constituent is not you and I, DJ, the taxpayer. It's the printing press.
Yeah.
Whoever has control of the printing press, whether it's the Democrats or Republicans, they get their grubby hands on that printing press, they're going to just start printing to oblivion.
All I'm saying.
And then they're going to make it political.
They're going to bring
all kinds of political stuff in here, like about abortion and all kinds of other things that are social issues and not talking about making integrity
of the
money.
I get that. Just once, Pavlos, be happy with us that we had a surplus for a quarter. It's good.
Okay,
it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. But I'm telling you, they don't care about that.
Okay. All right. Now you got me all worked up, dude.
You and I always have a good life.
You always do this to me. I know. So...
we're going to have a shot of ouzo on Friday. It's Greek Independence Day.
Oh, man. Bring it by, man. I'll do it with you. Yeah.
Okay.
Come on over. So, you know, let's talk a bit about oil and gas, because everything I read about this is that it's not the war that's doing this. But it's demand that's driving high prices, because, you know,
during
COVID,
we keep using more oil and gas. We have now 333 million people in the United States. We have a lot of immigration, and our country is still growing, and so our demand for oil continues to rise. Even though we have more electric cars and we do alternative energy and all that other stuff, we are just a growing world and a growing economy. So our demand for oil, even though we do, like, you know, 12 million barrels a day, we're going to need to have 13 million barrels a day just to keep things going in this country.
I mean, when you think about it, it makes sense, right? Because in the depths of the pandemic, we couldn't give oil away. Remember, oil was trading negatively.
Right. Nobody was driving cars.
Yeah.
You almost could think that was kind of a fix in some ways. Because that's hard to believe. I mean, I just started loading up on every oil stock I could during the middle of the pandemic. I'm like, this is fake.
Well,
you know, this is a, you know, but a lot of investment advisors didn't see it as a gift horse. I mean, they, you know, basically said the Green New Deal is coming true. We're not going to be using oil. And you and I know, TJ, the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow. But, you know, now I guess we're all figuring that out.
Yeah, well, I put that 10,000 gallon oil tank in my backyard, by the way. So
good, you need
no,
to
idea.
But
no.
You know, you and I do believe in peak oil. There's only so much oil in the ground. I mean, oil doesn't regenerate itself. You know, it takes billions of years to do that. So somewhere down the line, we're going to need some type of alternative energy, whether it's nuclear or, you know, some other, you know, renewable energy, something. And we're going to see oil continue to rise because there's going to be continued...
Well, how far... All right, I'm going to hold that thought because I want to ask you about that. We've got to get through the news break. I'm going to get back to you after the news break, and I'm going to ask you, how far do you think oil prices are going to go? There's got to
be... I'm going to shock you.
All right, good. That's a tease. Good. Don't say another word. Okay. All right, traffic coming up in 10 seconds. Hold on. See, we're back on this again, Gabe. So you point a gun at somebody?
Means I love you.
You got to do time, right?
Yes. Yeah. Why are you trying to be obvious? Why are you trying to make common sense? You got to stop. You got to let it go.
I'm just today. It's driving me crazy today. All this stupid stuff today.
No.
It's nuts. Hey, by the way, you're talking about the water. Mm-hmm. It's kind of. Didn't you just do a story about weed water? Meaning, so if it's coming out of a federally regulated dam,
that's a no-no. So
that would be like federal river water. So they're not you're not going to be able to water your cannabis.
Correcto mundo.
Using river water.
Correcto mundo.
It's a crazy world, man.
Yeah, it is, dude. Okay. Light one up and let it go.
Yeah. That's right. There better be enough water for our chili crops.
Ugh. So if it came down to it. Now, I know how you feel about both of these.
Yeah.
If you had to choose the weed or the chili, which one would it be?
I'd have to do the chili. You have to do the chili. You got to go with the chili.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go up to Colorado.
There you go. They got more water than us anyway.
For the time being, I'll go up to Colorado. No, yeah, come on, man. Chili. Okay. New Mexico is chili, right? It is chili.
Yeah.
It's our identity.
It is. We're wrapped up in it.
We cannot mess with that.
Although BV's very finicky about where his green chili goes.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh, here he goes.
I mean, usually if I'm eating something that traditionally you would put chili on, it's fine.
Yeah,
sometimes I like to get it on the side though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then sometimes I don't want the green chili on there. You don't have to put green chili on everything.
No, just because you're in New Mexico, you don't. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We like our green chili.
Oh yeah, I enjoy it.
I don't like it on pancakes.
Pancakes.
No.
Donuts.
Yeah. No, thank you. No, thank you.
How about green chili beer? Have you had that?
No, but I'm sure somebody got it.
Yeah, I have. Why? You don't need green chili beer. Who cares? Have green chili where you need green chili.
Yeah.
And an enchilada.
Yep.
And a burrito. Right? Come on.
Isn't it time for you girls to take a nap?
A green chili cheeseburger. That's my favorite thing in the world, a green chili cheeseburger.
Yeah, nice.
That's where green chili. I don't want green chili in my beer. Mm. I don't want it in my chocolate. I don't want it in my maple syrup. I want
your cream horn.
No.
Green chili cream horn.
See, Gabe, I'm on his side, man. I'm on his side.
I guess.
Oh, nut roll. Hey, yeah. Nut roll's here.
Oh.
The nut roll has arrived, by the way.
All right.
Mm. It's not in the building. It's arrived, though.
Okay.
All right, you got anything else?
Well, it seems the media is becoming aware of Scheherazade.
Right.
Yeah. And you ask, I'm sure, what is Scheherazade other than the iconic Persian queen from literature? Scheherazade is the name of the opulent watercraft that was built by Vladimir Putin.
Now I know where you're going with this.
There you
okay,
go.
I got it. I saw it. Okay, continue.
So they've got descriptions available. It seems there's golden toilet paper holders, kind of like BV's house.
Yeah,
same of course. Well, who doesn't?
Yeah. And now he denies that this 495-foot luxury vessel, which is currently moored in Marina di Carrara in Italy.
Okay.
There are swimming pools they haven't got a total count on, a spa, a sauna, a theater, ballrooms, a gym, and two helipads.
Hmm.
Listen to this.
Okay.
A 16-foot aquarium, multiple televisions, including a 15-foot television that spans an entire wall, and a self-leveling pool table so that guests can play even when the seas turn turbulent.
Yeah, that's just what I want when I'm on a yacht. I want to watch TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. So, see, I mean, you know, my question of this is he actually that much of a sociable guy that he needs all that? I mean, does he have hundreds and hundreds of people on his boat? Do people that many people like him?
Oh, I'm sure a lot of people.
Or does he buy his friends? You know,
why does he have to share that with people? I mean, you swathe yourself in like Neiman Marcus cashmere sweaters, not so people will pet you, TJ, but because you enjoy luxury.
I do. I like to rub. I like to rub against myself. That's absolutely correct.
Okay. I think you have to like him to be a Russian citizen.
You made a point. I hear you. Right.
Well, that's not the only one. He also has a second yacht called Graceful.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. And that comes with personal touches, like a judo room with framed pictures of black belts, plus various books showcasing the autocrat's worship of wealth.
So what are they going to do with the boats? I mean, the boats are his. Are they going to impound them, or can they even legally do that? I mean, they're his. What are they doing with the autocrat's boats?
It would seem that they would get enough notice to leave port if they got word of it. But supposedly Turkey is being a little more relaxed, shall we say, as far as some of these oligarchs are parking their boats there. And you can interpret that as you will.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Turks.
Yeah, so they a lot of people complain. They say the average Russian salary is 5,000 pounds a year, and people there are struggling to eat, and he's working on his two yachts. You take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, well, man has to have his recreation.
Yeah, well, yeah, every man needs their recreation, right?
Time off.
Yeah, sure. Hey, Gemma, tell me.
Hey, good talking to you, man.
All right.
I'll talk to you a little bit. Okay. We got traffic coming up in 10 seconds, and also we got Pavlos Panagopoulos, a couple more oil questions I want to talk to him about. All right, hold on.
Hey, thanks for listening. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Wednesday afternoon. TJ Trout, BB at the controls, Gabe in the newsroom, Carlisle in the traffic bunker, Trujillo hanging with us, and Pavlos Panagopoulos from Sotera Advisor Networks. Hey, we almost ran out of time. I made you hold this whole time. We only got a couple minutes to go.
Hey, you know what? This is about the green chili. You know, we put green chili in our Spani Kopita. So even those Greeks have made our...
Have you done that?
Yeah.
Seriously, how
our
is it?
Does it. Our priest makes really great Spani Kopita with green chili.
Now, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I kind of like that. So, now, where were we? We were talking about oil. Okay. Because we said, this is more supply and demand than it is wartime. That's why the oil is. But where do you think oil is headed, Pavlos? I mean, how far do you think this is going to go?
Well, you remember as kids, we were filling up our gas tank. We'd be like complaining when it was 43 cents to the gallon or... got up to 63 cents a gallon, and now we're talking $4.
Yeah.
So my take on it long term, TJ, is I hate to tell our listeners this, but probably oil is going to be going eventually to $200 a barrel and maybe $10 a gallon. I mean, we're talking about maybe in our lifetime, but oil is becoming a limited scarce supply, and so as that becomes scarce, unless we replace it with something else.
Well, wait, I mean, how far down the oil pipeline is this going to be? How many years? What are you looking at?
Well, I just got to ask you, how long is Biden going to be president?
This has now you know this has nothing to do with.
That's not a political statement.
What
do you mean it's not anything to do with Biden? I mean, when they shut down the XL
pipeline, said it was supply and demand.
That's a fact. Those are not even political statements.
You just said it was supply and demand. It's supply and demand. So,
and if you cut off the supply, then what do you do? Demand is going up, and you're cutting.
Okay. Anyway,
basically, these people in Washington, and again, I'm not being political. They live in la-la land. They live in a tinsel town. They don't really understand the real people down on the street that are having to pay for their gas and, pay their electric bill and, the car.
Sure. No, I get that.
We got a bunch of Putins there. You were talking about the yachts. We got a bunch of Putins in Washington.
Yeah. Okay. That is certainly not in the best interest of the fossil fuel industry, though. You look at the push towards electric vehicles, and that's that's going to happen. And
how do you make electricity most electricity comes either from nuclear or from coal.
Right. Yeah, well, we're getting away from coal. We're getting into natural gas now.
And electric car you're talking about. Think about the damage that environment does. It requires 80 pounds of copper. You know how much copper that is?
Yeah, we need
go through the roof. You're seeing lumber go.
Right. Well, we need to mine copper, and we need to get it. We need to get our own supply of the rare earths too. The rare earth metals.
But again, it has to have some environmental, logic here in this country.
Well, no, I agree.
It can't be just let's go la la land and let's do a green new green deal. Let's be, strategic about how we do things.
Well,
logical.
Well, what I think they needed to do up in the Four Corners area, where they're talking about the building the clean energy transmission, is you need a natural gas backup to that. And I don't understand why they and I am an Environazi.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
I heard that they're going to turn off the lights at the Roundhouse, and so she made sure that coal plant was working. Right.
Right.
That's just common sense.
Well, yeah. A public service company read the riot act with that thing.
If they're trying to sell to a Spanish utility company.
That ain't dead yet. That still may happen. All right. Hey, we're out of time. But you got to read your spiel.
Yes, and I'd love being on with you, TJ. Don't forget also for everybody, it's Greek Independence Day this Friday. And also our club has its 100-year anniversary, and also KKOB has its 100-year anniversary on April 5th. So we'll be all celebrating the 100-year anniversary.
Yeah, come on down and have a beer with us, man.
I am. I'm already planning. Get down there with BV and you, and I'll bring you some Greek chili.
Spanakopita, please do. Yeah.
Let me remind you, disclosure, Securities Investment Advisory Services are offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, and Cetera Advisor Networks is a member of Securities Investors Protection Corporation. Any of our listeners out there would like to reach us, 505-828-4068, or go to our website, myfinancialsense.com, and you sign up for our recent event that's going to be talking about tax planning strategies for the current landscape on March 30th at 1 p.m. So you can sign up for that Zoom meeting and learn about how to save money on your taxes.
There you go. Always a pleasure having you on, Pablo. I love fighting with you on the air. Love it.
Thank you.
All right, traffic, 10 seconds. Hold on.
Hey, it's Tate of the Tyson Tate Podcast.
Let's it fly for three and nothing but net.
It is that time of year again.
Stuffs it home with two.
The brackets are set.
And that raises the energy in this building.
And Titus and I will be giving you the best tournament coverage around.
He'll dribble out of traffic, and that is going to do it.
Episodes will be dropping every night after the games.
Do not write the epilogue just yet.
Tuesday and Fridays, typically. You can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts.